Christians should operate fully in the public square, and that includes by engaging with the media.
Molly Hemingway talking about her joint presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And one of the things that they can do is encourage reporters to report things accurately and truthfully. They can express their opinions in letters to the editor and op-eds. And one of the things that's important is to just let people in the world know of the differences of opinion that are out there, that Christians don't share a lot of the secular thinking that is promulgated by the media. And so being bold and being able to stand up and simply speak truth in the public square, it's a powerful witness to others, and it's a service you can perform for your community and the country at large.
You can meet and hear Molly and Mark Hemingway making the case for Christians engaging the news media at our Fall Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Everybody eventually starts thinking about it. They start thinking about, well, what's this going to cost me in the long run? Whether it's purchasing a house or a car or, well, one of the most expensive things that you can do in the world today, especially in Western civilization, the United States of America, is have a child. What's it going to cost me? And a lot of people are saying, I don't want to even sit down and figure out the cost. It comes to, well, the floor is somewhere near $250,000, and it goes up from there, depending on if your kid decides to go to college. So someone says, well, maybe I'm better off financially not having kids at all. But what if you already have them? People say, I want to stay home. Well, what do you do? Do you sit down and count the cost? Don't worry. Somebody already has. Think Tank has already run all the numbers and is ready to recommend that you shouldn't give up your full-time job for a couple of years to stay home for your kids. It'll simply cost you too much. Joining us to talk about this think tank recommendation, Gracie Olmsted, Associate Managing Editor at The Federalist and editor of a weekly newsletter for women titled Bright. She's author of a recent column titled Think Tank, Reconsider Caring for Your Kids Because Money Matters Most. Gracie, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you for having me back on the show, Todd.
Gracie, in your opinion, what's wrong with this latest information from the Center for American Progress when it comes to income and child care?
Well, this new study basically breaks down the numbers associated with the money you lose when you decide not to continue working in the workforce and instead decide to take some time away from your job to become a stay-at-home mom or stay-at-home dad. So basically, they're calculating in there potential pay raises you could have gotten, the retirement earnings that you would have accrued, and any other potential benefits you might have received, and popping out a number with which they can say, look, this, parents, is what you're sacrificing monetarily when you decide to stay at home with your children. And in my mind, that's just a very inadequate way of measuring the decision to stay at home with your children, because if you have the opportunity to do so, I think a lot of parents choose it not for financial reasons, but for personal reasons. It's not a quantitative choice. It's more of a qualitative choice more often than not.
So does it, in essence, whether it intends to or not, reduce the issue of parenting down to profits and losses when it comes to one's income over time?
I think it does. I think a lot of parents right now feel a lot of pressure to put their careers first, to make their decisions based off of job profit and their ability to scale the economic ladder. And that can oftentimes mean that we put our children second or even third or fourth, which in my mind is not necessarily appropriate, because ultimately what brings about human flourishing is not just the money that you're gaining in a paycheck. It's the time you're spending with your family, the way that you're able to, you know, live your life, the choices you make that transcend money. And I personally chose to be a stay-at-home mom, not necessarily for reasons of income, although I might note that childcare is very expensive in Virginia, but more importantly, I wanted to spend these vital years in my daughter's very young life spending time with her, making sure that she has a strong relationship with her mom, making sure that the early childhood education she receives is as good as possible, making sure that our home is well tended, our garden is well tended, all of these things that I can do myself instead of outsourcing. And that's not just a matter of money. It's a matter of, I think that brings greater human flourishing to both my life and the life of my daughter than if I were commuting and dropping her off at daycare every day.
So if you were simply counting up this in terms of dollars and cents, and you looked at these figures and they're talking about for a 26-year-old woman who makes 60 grand a year, taking off 5 years, over your lifetime, the total income loss would be just over $1 million. If you're a 26-year-old man, it jumps up to $1.2 million. A lot of people look at those numbers and they say, wow, I had no idea. That's a lot of money. Maybe daycare pays off after a while. What would you say?
Well, I would say that those numbers can also be deceiving. I think, yes, we need to be aware of money loss, especially for people who are less fortunate when it comes to their jobs and what they get paid on a regular basis. But frankly, the average U.S. woman is not making $60,000 a year. The average U.S. income for a woman is more like $40,000. The average U.S. male is closer to $51,000. And those numbers do not take into account the cost of commuting, you know, which is not just gas, but also wear on your car. Or if you're me, you know, and formerly used to work in D.C., it's cost that you have to measure in parking tickets or metro tickets. And then also in addition to commuting costs, it's child care costs, which can get very expensive, especially if you're trying to find maybe more of a high quality manner of getting child care for your kids, getting a nanny, you know, something like that, which actually the article recommends if you have 2+ children, getting a nanny. That's not possible for a lot of Americans. That's very expensive more often than not. And then also you have to take into account the amount of labor in the home that we end up outsourcing when we're away from home a lot, you know, and that can be everything from getting takeout more often to having to hire someone to mow the lawn just because you can't do it yourself. So, you know, these are the unseen costs of working outside the home. And many people make enough money to take all of those into account and to be fine. For some of us, however, myself included, when you live in a very high income area, all of those costs are expounded by the fact that childcare is super expensive. You know, food is oftentimes expensive and landscaping is oftentimes expensive. So if I can do those myself, I am saving my family money and I am probably making a decision that over the long term is more affordable for my family.
Talk a little bit about what seems to be kind of hovering in the background here, but I think completely misunderstood, and that is those who choose to stay home with their children are aware often that they are making a sacrifice. That's exactly why they do it. Talk about that.
Right. You know, I've been having a conversation on Twitter with some more progressive-minded economists, including actually the creator of the study and another friend who worked in economic journalism in that beat. And they keep telling me, you know, it's just not fair that there's this trade-off that you have to choose between making lots of money and being a mom to your daughter. You shouldn't have to make that decision. But in my mind, every good decision in life has sacrifices that come with it. I believe that virtue is like a muscle. It's something that we exercise, and it should involve a little bit of work. And it isn't something that should necessarily come easy. I shouldn't necessarily have it all. That's not really what life is about. I think the best things in life oftentimes take a little bit of sacrifice, and that oftentimes that sacrifice both reorients us toward God and towards service to the people around us. And this article is actually probably a good example of how differently our world looks at human flourishing. They don't see us as, you know, people who should be living oriented toward others, oriented communally and spiritually. They see us as people who should be oriented inwards. What can I do to fulfill my needs and to achieve the most, you know, material and emotional happiness in my own life? And so I think that divide is probably always going to come to a head when we're having these conversations. But that doesn't mean that it isn't still good to have these conversations. And hopefully the article helps show that as much as I support parents who make decisions outside of staying at home, they really need to make money outside the home to support their families. I wholeheartedly support that. But I just want to make sure they also see the unseen benefits that are oftentimes not sung by the media or by the culture at large that go into being a stay-at-home mom, whether it's getting to do watercolor painting with my daughter or teaching her to say her prayers every morning. I mean, there's so many different things that you just can't measure with money.
What is the danger? You talk there about kind of the positive side of it. But what's the danger of thinking about our children purely and what they will cost us over our lifetimes?
Well, I think there are a myriad of ways that we see this happening, even in the millennial generation. Many people in my generation are putting off parenting indefinitely, perhaps even permanently, because they are considering parenthood through a cost-benefit analysis and are rightly understanding that if you're just kind of looking at it in an Excel spreadsheet, adding up the numbers on paper, it doesn't work out in their favor necessarily, not in a quantitative measure. It is tough. It is time-consuming. They are going to lose money. And a lot of young people don't want to do that because the world tells them, as we already said, that economic success, personal happiness, these are the things that make up human flourishing. So when we cast parenting and our children in, you know, dollars and cents, or even in what's going to bring you fulfillment, that ends up putting children at a severe disadvantage because that's not what parenting is really about in the long term. It's not about our happiness. It's about the happiness and well-being and ultimate, hopefully, sanctification of our children.
You end your column saying, "But believe me, every time my daughter begs for me to pick her up and plants a little kiss on my cheek, I'm not thinking, man, I could be making thousands more dollars if you were off in daycare somewhere. I'm usually thinking that I'd do it all over again in a heartbeat." Elaborate on this for us, if you would.
Well, I have a sweet 1.5-year-old who is getting to the age where she can show a lot more affection and is a lot more independent. So, you know, she'll come up to me randomly and give me hugs or plant a kiss on my cheek. And I don't know if I can really describe to someone how amazing it is when your daughter wakes up in the morning, you go to grab her out of her crib, and when she sees you walk into the room, her eyes light up like you are the best person in her life. In terms of emotional well-being and fulfillment, that's pretty great, I have to admit. However, the larger point here is, of course, that I am hoping to build a relationship with my daughter in these years that is close, that is personal, that is a friendship that goes very deep and very wide, so that as she grows, she always knows her mother is someone who will be there for her. My mom did this for me. She was actually a professional ballerina. She was a very talented person, and she wanted to have children and settle down and raise a family and homeschool her kids. And so she gave up her professional career in order to do that. And I've asked her several times if she ever regretted that decision or if she ever felt like she had lost out on an opportunity by doing that. And she says, no, it was always something she wanted to do. It was the desire of her heart. And every day she got to spend with us, which speaks a lot more to her character than to our virtue, because we had our definite naughty moments growing up, but that she loved every minute of it. She loved homeschooling us. She loved spending the time with us. So I just think that that day-to-day sweetness is something you can't measure in money, and it's something that we don't often talk about in our world enough, because we want to emphasize career success, because we want to emphasize economic inequality and the gender pay gap and things like that. But what gets lost in the midst of that is the women who choose to spend time with their children regardless of the economic outcomes, because they absolutely love spending time with their children. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all.
Gracie Olmsted is managing editor at The Federalist, editor of a weekly newsletter for women called Bright, author of a recent column titled Think Tank, Reconsidering Caring for Your Kids Because Money Matters Most. You can read it under the Listen On Demand page at issuesztc.org. Gracie, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Glenn Stanton talking about Christianity and homosexuality, especially given the fact that some prominent evangelical leaders are starting to slip on the subject. We'll be right back.
If you've ever wondered why Amazing Grace is the national anthem of funerals, or pondered the state of your eternal soul after you die, the Lutheran Witness has got you covered. Check out the June-July issue of The Lutheran Witness to learn more about death, dying, heaven, and hell. Not a subscriber? Visit cph.org/try-Lutheran-Witness for a special offer, $6.99 for 6 digital or print issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Children are entitled to a relationship with both of their parents, and they're entitled to know who they are.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse of the Ruth Institute talking about her presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And if you take that entitlement as basic and reason backwards from that, what you'll end up with is the whole traditional Christian sexual morality. Get married, stay married, and only have sex with the person you're married to.
You can meet and hear Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse making the case against the sexual revolution at the Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120 and includes 3 meals. Child care is free. For more information, look for the Making the Case logo at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.